The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. Flexible 142 finance solutions from Kia, home of the 7-year warranty. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. 142 finance made easy with Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
Not too bad. Not too bad indeed. I'm just saying hello to my two guests. We'll be talking about books that have been unread over, through the ages in a moment. But from Jim and from my, hi John, my daughter Jessica got married on the beach lawns of Orpheus Island on the Great Barrier Reef last year in tropical surroundings with family and friends. I can recommend outdoor weddings. It was an occasion that we will never forget. When will this country come out of the medieval era? I think it is heading in that direction now. Anyway, hands up, which of you has read Ulysses in its entirety? How about War and Peace? Well, thanks to American mathematician Jordan Ellenberg, you'll no longer be able to lie about what you've read. Here with me to discuss the Hawking Index and to fess up on the books they've waded through begrudgingly or not at all is our Claudia Carroll and Gutter Bookshop owner Bob Johnston. Very welcome to you
both.
Good morning.
Thank
you.
Good morning. Big hello to you both. And have you been at weddings, outdoor weddings, indoor weddings?
The best wedding I was ever at in my life was outdoor. It was a civil partnership. My friend Frank and his lovely partner. And it was just brilliant. And can I tell you the story?
Sure, of course. Yeah.
A friend got up, an actor pal, and, you know, it was all the serious kind of religious part. And he said, a reading from the book of Beyonce. And he did like it, so he put a ring on it.
Oh,
it took a while to filter through the congregation, and then everyone started, if you like it, then you put a ring. The best wedding ever.
Whereabouts?
It was in Rathsalla. Do you know Rathsalla House?
Oh, I do
House,
indeed.
Down
lovely,
the country. And it was
spot.
Just magic. Absolutely brilliant.
How many were at it? Was it a smallish affair?
No, it was. I think there was over 100 of us.
You can't beat a good Irish wedding.
Yeah.
And did the sun shine?
No, unfortunately not, but it didn't matter.
Yeah, and did the gazebo for cover? Or
we did, and then everyone drifted inside to the bar. The way Irish people
I was going to say, I can't remember any weddings, but that doesn't sound quite right, does it?
Weddings in Ireland.
Bob, have you been at any outdoor weddings?
So, I don't think I've ever done an outdoor wedding, actually. No. Quite fancy it. There you are. The Irish weather doesn't always hold up to it, does it, really? You need a plan B, I always think, for Irish weddings, but there
you do. And if people listening have a particular preference as to where they would get married or where they would have got married, text 51551. Well, now the Hawking Index, Claudia.
I know.
Forget about
Did
Beyonce.
You ever hear
effort.
Of that?
No, this is the first time.
I'll tell you what it is. I actually thought it was a bit spooky. Basically, it's when you download. It's a new tool that's been invented by a mathematician in the States, and it's aimed to measure not just what we're reading, but how we're reading. So it's sort of assessing reading patterns. So, say for instance, you have your Kindle and you're going off on your holliers, and you download X amount of books, and you know sometimes you might start a book and maybe a couple of chapters in or halfway through, you just think, you know, it's not for me. And there is so much now competing for our attention, and especially in a Kindle, where you might have downloaded, you might have another 12 books to choose from. And if one isn't grabbing you, this measures what you're not sticking with it and at what point you abandoned it.
I see.
So I found it kind of a little bit spooky.
Looking over your shoulder, isn't it? Saying, oh, you're not doing well on that, are you? Look at that. Just to clarify, it's actually named, it's a bit of a jokey thing. In fairness, the guy who invented it did say it's you know, it's not a real mathematician tool, but it's a bit of fun and go with it. It's named after Stephen Hawking, the brief history of time, if you said I mean, because you have a brief history of time on a book before you give it up. So he deliberately named it the Hawking Index in a kind of comedy way. But at the same time, it does kind of hold true in a way, doesn't it?
But it is flawed. Because first of all, it only assesses your reading on Kindle, not on iPad. And also, it doesn't account for physical books. Which are still, well, particularly among young adults.
And as you say, people have different reading habits depending on how they're reading. If you have the misfortune to be reading on a Kindle, says the independent bookshop owner, if you have the misfortune to be reading on a Kindle, it is easier to give up something because you've not really invested it. You know, you have got 1,000 other things on there you could be reading instead, or 1,000 other things you could be doing instead. So it is different reading patterns. But at the same time, it does open that interesting debate about when do you give up on a book? When do you actually kind of say, oh, Enough I've is enough. Enough. I can't be dealing
I'm always afraid that if I do give up on a book, it'll suddenly get really, really good.
Yeah. And that's it. And I did. I always used to have a rule. If I'd started a book, I would have to finish it. Because what if the last 100 pages was really, really good and you missed out?
Yeah, but given what's come before us, you would probably be able to
guess. But I say that, and I know we were kind of trying to think, I was desperately trying to think of books that I had not given up on, and I'm glad I didn't. And the one that came up for me was We Need to Talk About Kevin by Lionel Shriver, which became a movie as well. But
I tried
that book twice. I read the first 100 pages twice and hated it and would not. And I do a lot of book clubs with the bookshop, with the Gutter Bookshop, and they picked it. And I was like, damn it, I'm going to finally have to read this book. I'm going to have to persevere and go with it. And do you know what? It's an amazing book.
It's a stunning book.
Final kind of half of the book. And it brings you in and thrills you.
But twice I tried to read it and
it was something about it.
But it was compelling from start to finish.
No, it wasn't. You're wrong there. No, it was rubbish
at
the start.
Well, in your opinion,
it was. That's where we all disagree.
It's one of those books that I actually picked up and finished.
It seems to be a Marmite book, as they say, isn't it?
You love it,
But exactly. Yeah. But that's, this is the fun of the Hawking Index. I think they were saying the Pinkerty book, the one everybody's been talking about, the big economics tome that's like 1,000 pages. I think this has got a score of something like 2.7%.
And Hillary Clinton's book, which that's the hard choices, because that's a New York Times bestseller, and apparently it's got a very low score too.
So, in other words,
just to explain to our listeners, that book, Hard Choices by Hillary Clinton, it's sold a lot, but the people who've been buying it
aren't reading it. Yeah,
or at least at the moment, it's early days.
In the algorithms that are Amazon looking over your shoulder with everything that you read, have decided you don't really read very much of it. But it's brand new out, and I think people will buy something, have a brief look at it, and save it for their holiday, or save it for reading later,
or come back to it possibly.
It's all very makey uppy, isn't it? Let's be honest, the
highest score was for young adult was The Hunger Games, the Divergent, the Veronica Roth trilogy, huge.
Yeah.
And so it's
the most people actually gave up on it.
In terms of people finished it, scored well. Now it's still, I think it's called something around 60% or something. But it's
I read The Hunger Games.
They're terrific. Young adult fiction. I remember the one I did abandon, I'm glad I didn't abandon, rather, is I remember as a teenager my mother giving me Jane Eyre and saying, oh, you've got to read this work of art, literature. And I remember saying, this is just dreadful. I cannot, the first third of the book where she's in the orphanage, it's essentially child abuse. And it's just awful. And she makes one friend and it's just all the friend dies. It's just dreadful. And it only starts to kind of take off when Jane goes to Thornfield Hall and she meets Rochester. And then it's magic.
And I would have it
like as one of my desert island reads now. But it's funny, my own editor, if it was written in the last... If you went to an editor with that today, an editor would say, cut the orphanage bit. Yeah. Cut. Start the book where she goes to Thornfield Hall.
You need a good explosion at the start.
And we'll tell. All we need to know is that she had this dreadful childhood, and we'll tell it through flashback.
Yeah.
So you wonder, is there a lot?
The way that we've read has changed.
But you did manage to read Jane Eyre from start to finish.
Because once it takes off, it really does.
What books defeated you, Claudia?
Well, again, it's. I think for any author to get anything published is such a so hard, particularly now. It's never been tougher. So I think if I buy a book like Bob, my rule is I will stick with it, because it's the fear of it'll just suddenly get brilliant, or it'll be the book everyone is talking about and I'll be the idiot who abandoned
it. I've come now, because I do a lot of kind of book club work with the bookshop, and I've come now to a kind of 100-page rule, and I have this chat with book clubs. It's like, what point do you give up on a book? At what stage do you say, no, enough is enough? Now, I've got about 100 pages. If it's book clubs, if it's a worky thing, I will persevere, because I feel it's important to be able to talk about stuff. But if it's for me personally, there's so many books that I want to read. You do get to that stage, it's like, okay, I'm 100 pages in, I can see where this is going. It's a load of rubbish and it's not going to work for me. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a really difficult read. Sometimes I will give up on the really simple ones because it's just a bit like, I've read this
what
before.
What books have defeated you? What books have defeated you?
I have
you
to, for my sins, like a lot of people, I have to confess that I have started Ulysses twice and failed
miserably.
You're
a brave man.
But I've started twice, which is something.
Did you get to 100 pages in it?
I've got to 100 pages twice, I think, but through sheer perseverance and determination, and then just kind of something distracted me, something good came
on
the telly.
Joycean scholars. weeks.
I know, but everybody says that if you do read it and persevere with it, it is the most amazing book in the world. But I feel I'm just going to need a longer holiday.
Any other examples? Yeah. The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt.
Oh, now The Goldfinch is terrific. My big argument one. It's a stunner. And I can see lots of people giving that up in the middle. It's
60 pages it took for me to give it up.
Oh, no, persevere. But then I said to people, there's a bit of a slow bit in the middle, but the ending is amazing. But it's the book I say should be longer. Everybody else says it should be shorter.
Somebody said to me, actually, the best way to describe it was that the first 200 pages are great, the last 200 pages are great, but the 300 in the middle, nah, you can skip
that. Wait for the movie.
It's all stunning. Read The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt. Best book I read last year.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think that in this digital age, where there's just so much competing for our attention, that our attention spans have shriveled?
Yeah.
In other words, say you're reading off an iPad and say you're really into a book and you're enjoying it, and all of a sudden, say an email comes through, your concentration's gone. And even if you think, OK, I'm not going to look at it, it's at the back of your mind and you think, oh, it might be work, I should check. Or else a Facebook update comes through and it's just somebody posting white noise, basically. Here I am on my holidays, a photo. But there's so much competing now.
Yeah. There's a lot of research going into it.
If you went to a play 400 years ago in the Globe, say, you were expected to sit there for 5 hours. A modern reader or audience won't do that now. It just isn't. So if something doesn't grab you from the get-go...
No, they're saying that, but then they're also saying, you know, young adult market is actually the biggest expanding market in books now.
Yeah.
And kids are reading, and more kids are reading.
Those books grab you from the offset.
Exactly,
like,
and there's different ways. And I think
murder?
The expectation is that, you know, everybody's saying kids won't read anymore. It's actually adults and grown-ups who are getting distracted the most, because we're not used to this new technology. It's actually kids who kind of
have grown up with it
and kind of say...
And also, young adults, they will buy physical paperbacks.
And why is that, though?
My theory is... For our generation, you know, say somebody came to your home, you had your CD collection, and you'd walk in and you would see someone's music, and that would tell you a lot about who they were and their taste. And now that's all streamed and digital, so that's gone. So I think for younger people, particularly for teens,
it's a badge of identity,
and it says who you are.
To be carrying it under your arm.
Yeah. Look, I'm reading this.
In
this
a public
is who
place.
I am.
And to,
it's
also showing off, like it used to be with the newspapers in the past to carry the Irish Times.
It gives you a bit of identity. But it's also about, you know, showing... I think grown-ups want one device that does everything. I think the younger generation are saying, well, books can do this. This is my book, and it's a badge of identity, and it looks like this, and this is something I can give to my friends. And I use my phone for something. So actually, I think we make presumptions about the way the world's going based on what we think. But actually...
Yeah, because we think the world is going totally digital.
Yeah.
And that the last thing that young adults would be doing, or teenagers would be doing,
they'll
is
be reading everything off screen.
We're told that physical books will be gone in 5 or 10 years, and everything will be digital.
Physical books and digital just need to learn to coexist. Stephen Fry said physical books are no more threatened by digital than stairs are by escalators.
Mm. Yeah. Now, saying that, the Hawking Index, we still love in the fact that it just brings up this bit of comedy appeal about how many people give up on a book and then pretend that they've read it. I mean, how many books have we all claimed that we've really read and then gone back?
What do people generally talk about?
I had to read, actually, last week for Book Club, I had to read On the Road by Jack Kerouac, one of those Beat Generation classics, you know. And I read that when I was a teenager. Do you know what? And I read it and went, I've never read this in my life. I have no idea. Mind you, I wouldn't be reading it again, that's all I'm saying. It wasn't for me, but it's really funny. And sometimes you believe yourself, you've talked yourself into the fact you've read a book, and it's only when you pick it up and kind of go, actually, I have no idea what happens in this.
I presume you're a voracious reader, given the job
I am. I am. I read about 8 books a month, mainly for book clubs. I do 4 or 5 book clubs a month, plus some reviewing. So I do read quickly.
Two books a week.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's my talent. God, I don't have many talents in life. I can't paint a ceiling, but I can read books really well. So,
Claudia, what about you?
About a book a week.
Book a week.
Yeah, I read everything, absolutely everything. But at the moment, I'm reading a lot of young adult.
Right.
And it's fantastic.
Why is that?
They are so gripping. Mm. And they just grab you from the get-go. And it's like this golden age of young adult fiction at the moment. What have I got in my to-be-read pile? The Robert Galbraith, the new J.K. Rowling, Silkworm, which I hear is wonderful. And also, I'm a big fan of Caitlin Moran. How to Be a Girl is hysterically funny.
fun. So, and again, it's kind of that teen crossover because it's written for adults, but actually, you know, a lot of.
What about you? Have you any summer recommendations?
What am I reading at the minute? I'm just finishing Travels with Charlie by John Steinbeck, actually, which is another book club pick, but it's amazing. It's about John Steinbeck traveling around America with his poodle. And it's so funny. It's not what you expect at all. So that's really good fun. What else have I got coming up? There's a new short story collection from Tove Jansson, who's best known for creating The Moomins. And she's got a short story collection. She died a number of years ago, but it's a re-release called The Listener, which is fantastic. Very dark, but short stories, contemporary. Also, a big chunky thriller. I'm off to a cottage in Mayo for my holidays this year. So I'm going over to Mayo for a week. I'm taking a big chunky thriller.
Because
I put my reading brain on hold, and it's a big CIA conspiracy theory.
It's
called I Am Pilgrim. Author's name has just popped out my head, but the title is I Am Pilgrim. And it's one of those big chunky thrillers that you take away and race through the pages, and there's explosions and conspiracies and all of that kind of malarkey.
Ideal for the holidays.
That's what you need.
Jen says, hi John, if a book has not grabbed me in the first 50 pages, I abandon it. Morgan says, so glad I did not give up on Catch 22 by Joseph Heller, but could not listen to Bill Clinton's audio autobiography after the second disc of six. And Karen in County Clare says, Captain Corelli's Mandolin, tried twice, couldn't, life's too short.
About you, John? Have you ever...
Well, The Goldfinch is the latest example of a book that just defeated me. I sat down and with good intentions, because it was one of the books shortlisted for our book awards last year, and I just said, no,
But sometimes I think your brain's not in the right place anyway. You can come back.
Her first book was, what was it? The Secret History. Probably the best book I've ever read.
It's such a rare event that she publishes a book.
Yes. Anyway, listen, guys, thanks for coming in this morning and explaining in some detail.
Thank you.
Index, and happy reading during the summer. That's Claudia Carroll and Bob. But by the way, you're working on a new novel at the moment.
Well, yesterday was a happy day because I just got to hit the send key on a new one, one for next year, and I've won out at the moment.
Great stuff.
Love me or leave me.
Love me or leave me. Great. Well, look, thanks to you both for coming in this morning, Bob Johnson from the Gutter Book Shop and author Claudia Carroll. Take care of yourselves, and as I say, happy summer reading.
Text 51551. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.